Is that like True Colors? Is he mixed True Colors into
I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. And that's why I love you. So don't be afraid.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to League Pass and Chill, brought to you by StubHub. Visit StubHub.com.au now for the best selection of NBA tickets. The NBA season is finally here. I am Olga Nulich. I am one of the hosts of this podcast, and I'm joined by the League Pass and Chill crew. We have everyone in house because the season is finally here, the regular season. So to my right, we're in a circle, by the way. Tom Hanley is here.
Oh, hey. I wasn't expecting to go first.
Yeah, we've got Gadi Natalovich, the lead of international sports code lead.
Hey, Dick, is that you?
Those are a lot of words. Hey, Gadi. Yes, hello. That is me.
Thank you.
Titles.
You got Ted Smith?
Yep, that'll do.
We have another one of our video producers in Harrison Pullinger.
G'day.
And there's so much to talk about.
Like what?
Well, Gadi, here's what we've got. We're going to quickly run through the news of the week heading into the opening game, which obviously is the Pelicans and Raptors, a game that has been dimmed because one of the big bits of news from this week, Zion Williamson torn meniscus in his right knee at 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
He's heavy.
Yeah.
Very heavy.
Almost too heavy.
Like demonstrably so.
Some have said that, yeah. Some have said too heavy.
Like demonstrably too heavy. Do we think that's going to keep him out for longer than that? Do you think changes need to be made, or are we sort of jumping the gun?
Looking at his body and just how athletic he is, he seems like the kind of guy that's going to get over this pretty quickly, and I don't think it's going to bother him too much. I think I was saying to you, potentially, Olgs, when we were watching his preseason game, where you looked how softly he seemed to be landing, and he'd jump up with such ferocity, slam it through the hoop, and then kind of land really softly. And I was like, I reckon they're gone anti-Blake Griffin here, and they're just saying everything you do is about landing properly so you don't have a Derrick Rose or Blake Griffin knee blowout.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Yeah,
the difficult thing is the problem was in his meniscus, which is the cartilage in between your knee joint, and there's no blood flow to that part of your knee. So therefore, it doesn't actually repair on its own. Because I've done it myself.
Okay,
it
never actually repairs. I was like, Dr. Hadley.
Yeah, no, it never actually repairs on its own.
I've done some Googling today.
So it is a permanent problem. You can have surgery on it, which he did, and there are ways to get about it, ways that I assume that an NBA player has that I don't. But it is a somewhat permanent problem if it's not held managed the right way.
Well, so a lot of the talking heads suggest that he needs to lose weight.
That's what he's very heavy.
Mm. Well, he's 13 kilos heavier than 7'2" Nikola Jokic, which doesn't make sense.
No.
Especially when you consider the way he moves. And to tie into what Harrison was saying, he's got an element of grace about him. Like he's not like Blake Griffin, pure power when Blake Griffin came into the league. Obviously different frames. But I'd say he will have to lose some weight. Because given that like he hasn't played a game and he's already missing games, if they don't adjust to this current injury, and then he gets injured again, it'll be like, well, then he'll have to make the change. I think you need to get ahead of it and then adjust accordingly.
Yeah, you want to go? I'll go.
Okay.
Sorry. One of the biggest problems, the issue I heard, the Pelicans haven't been able to define where the injury actually happened. There's no one key event where they're like, oh, that's where he's twisted it wrong, that's where he's kind of tweaked it. So that would make it think that it's an overuse and an overbearing issue where it's come through from his weight.
I mean, could have happened at Duke.
Yeah, it absolutely could have. And, like, this is not a unique story. Players come into the league, they've been living in dorm rooms and eating megarang just like everyone else, and then they get into the NBA, they get proper gym routines. People drop weight and lean up all the time, and I don't think his weight is going to be an issue.
We've been waiting for Embiid to drop weight for 3 years now.
Mm. But we've also been waiting him to sort of drop.
Yeah, I think like without lingering too much on this, because we don't really know what it's going to mean in the long term, what we do know is that like it's just a bit of a dampener, because we were like, after preseason, we were kind of like, all right, no, Zion looks legit, looks like the real deal. And now we kind of just don't get to watch him for 2 months. And then when he comes back, the likelihood is the Pelicans are going to be super careful with him, and we might not get that explosive like rookie season that we thought we might.
And they might be mid-tank by that time as well. Like if they start on the schneid, Might be pointless to go and try and make for that eight spot.
What are his chances moving into the rookie of the year conversation now that he's going to miss?
So middle of December. Mm. I mean, that's
heaps of time.
Yeah, true.
Recency bias will help him.
Yeah, true.
Come crunch time. Mm. So.
In other news, Joe Johnson got waived. That's unfortunate because he was kind of cool.
It's a bit sad.
Nah, it's not. Come on. Why? Why is
no,
that
No, because
sad?
It was funny watching the Big Three stand.
Oh, yeah.
Just be all like, oh, look what the Big Three can do. And like Ice Cube's just like, yeah, look what the Big Three can do. It's just like, oh, no.
Then he came back and they were like, oh, no, you're old, Dan.
Yeah, Gardy's like, if there's no room for Jeremy Lin, you got to go. If my Jeremy's on the Beijing Ducks, you got to
so true.
He dropped 40 in his debut.
He definitely did.
Well, my man.
Gardy definitely
a thing that means heaps. The Miami Heat suspended Dion Waiters for
conduct
detrimental to the team. Mm. We're not going to guess what that is.
It's big it could. Jerk. That'd be fun.
Do one guess.
Flipped off Spoelstra.
That's not out of the question.
That's believable.
See, it's very vague.
I reckon he spat on him.
Whoa.
Nah, you get more than a game for that, for
Smith,
sure.
J.R. Smith threw soup at an assistant coach.
I remember spitting. That.
He got like
that.
Five games for that, didn't he, though?
How weird is that? That's a thing that happened and I don't even remember J.R. Smith playing at all last season.
Well, I can't remember. Was it in a can? Because that's dangerous.
Either way, if it's hot or it's cold in a can, both.
That actually is an
dangerous.
Important distinction to make. Was it loose soup?
Is it
was
hot
it loose
soup
on
well?
The soup? Was it was it loose on the soup? Was it soup on the loose or was it confined to a can, which is therefore kind of just throwing a can,
a
not
weapon.
Throwing soup?
I guess it doesn't matter if you bring it out and it was too hot. It's like, damn it! throws his suit back in his face.
It was also the deadline for extensions today, and as in today, we're recording on Tuesday afternoon, and a few were handed out. Some were somewhat surprising just by nature of how much they were, and some were surprising because we just didn't know that that could happen, like Joe Ingles signing a one-year $14 million extension with the Jazz. He's got like 2 years left on his deal anyway, something like that.
Yeah, so he had 2 years, around $22 million left.
So I think he was saying just, I didn't know that I could do this. How good? I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So nice. We signed that extension. That's a nice pick.
I love it when I unknowingly make $14 million extra.
Yeah.
It's great.
Hey, Joe, you want to make $14 million?
Money.
He's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
It's not bad for a balding 31-year-old Australian in the NBA.
32.
Oof.
Not helping.
That was aggressive. DeJounte Murray signed a 4-year $64 million extension with the Spurs. That's nice.
Love that.
4 years,
so
64.
Cheap.
That's so cheap.
I get he's coming off that injury.
Yeah,
that's still so cheap.
A steal.
Considering we don't really know what his ceiling is, if he gets like two straight seasons of like, you know, 70 plus games under his belt.
And like all defensive second, first team, something like that too.
Yeah.
That's a steal.
A lot of upside.
Yeah. Domantas Sabonis, 4 years, $77 million. That presumably sort of takes him off the trade block. Is that what we're thinking about that?
Yeah, I read this morning that they're planning on playing him alongside Miles Turner in the starting lineup.
Well, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
This is just not going
to... Oh, who can get all the rebounds?
Do you know what year it is? Or? Yeah. Shit. Jaylen Brown, this one was surprising. 4 years, $115 million.
So much money.
That's lots for Jaylen Brown.
That is so much money for the logjam they have on the wings.
Yeah, that contract scares me.
How much are they paying Hayward? 33 this year?
Yeah,
they're paying him so much.
I've got to hear. It's too much.
Yeah.
Is that one plus one?
33. I'm pretty sure KD was only on $30 million last year.
Dang.
Yeah.
By the way, Guy was watching Gardy, and I thought he'd actually written it down, but he looked at his book to make a joke. Well done. Great comedy. Buddy Hield, who had a bit of earlier to the media.
Was it like an organized press conference where he basically said, look,
it was just like after a game,
I'm not happy and I want to tell you guys about it.
Like I'm so unhappy that I might leave
after a game.
So he ended up getting 4 years. This is a weird contract. 4 years, $86 million, $8 million in exceedingly reachable bonuses, which we're not sure what they are, but according to Woj, they're exceedingly reachable.
It's being on time. being partial.
And $12 million in incentives. So we're assuming those are maybe like make an all-star team, something like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I just ask you guys?
Yeah.
What he said, I think his quote was, no free agents come here.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not wrong.
No.
If you're the team, you actually need to look at that and be like, yeah, we traded our big chip in DeMarcus Cousins. We got back these guys. Let's keep them and let's build? Why, like, why?
Yes and no, though, because, like, we've seen enough situations where a team has gone, like, all right, well, we've got no one else to pay, so we might as well pay this person. And then you end up locking yourself into, like, a
Kemba
bit of a
Walker.
Problem.
But
Harrison
Barnes.
Do you not think
which
that
they did again.
Harrison Barnes is like, they're like, oh, we need a player who might be at that level. We're going to sign him. And now they're regretting it.
That's why Jordan didn't keep Kemba Walker, right? Because he felt he was going to be handcuffed to media.
And that was a good move, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
What they signed him for is pretty good.
It's reasonable. But he's only had one season where he's been, oh, that guy's a gun. Every season before that, I was like, I don't know how.
He was on some pretty bad teams before that.
We know exactly what kind of player he is, and that was a player that was going to take longer to develop because he was a slightly undersized, really good shooter. They got Fox. They're pushing the pace now. He's shooting lots, and lots are going in. I feel like now we know what he is. Why would you not pay him?
From his perspective, that statement was entirely fair.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
You're okay. Continue. Pascal Siakam, 4-year max.
Love it.
Fine?
Yeah.
No, Tom hates it.
Yeah, we were talking about this while we were shooting around earlier today.
Hate strong. Tom's got questions.
Yeah. I just don't know if they've jumped the gun on this one a little too soon. Like, he has only had one full season in the NBA, which he did win Most Improved Player. But 2 years ago, he was playing in the D League. Sure, he's proved himself through the finals and things like that. But transitioning from in that 2 year period being in the D League to being now a max player and if not the superstar on your team is a huge emotional burden to throw on someone in a heartbeat. And I wonder if it's going to become a little too much pressure on top of him going into a season where he really has to perform.
I get what you're saying, but when you line up alongside all-star point guard Kyle Lowry, former Defensive Player of the Year and all-star Marc Gasol, I think you've got the leadership and the calm heads to keep him grounded. And when every tick next to Siakam's name was his motor and his work ethic, that's a guy worth investing in. Like, how many great two-way players are there, especially that are his size? I totally get you. He hasn't really done enough to warrant a long-term contract, but at the same time, I think it was a risk that Toronto definitely...
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it was worth waiting out this year, seeing how he filled that role, seeing how he did do as a star player, and then paying him next off-season
I think part of it was just after losing... I know it's weird to say that the team that just won the championship needed some positive news, but they kind of did.
Losing Kawhi is big.
Yeah. Exactly. And you have a look at the history of recent players that have improved by a surprising amount, like Kawhi Leonard from years 2 to 3, Jimmy Butler after 2 or 3 seasons. Once that those kind of players like clearly become established stars, they usually stay there. And I think Siakam is going to be the next one. Part of it's the maturity that he shows in interviews and in big games. He went missing a couple of games in the finals in both the Eastern Conference and the NBA finals, but for the most part, he was their second best player on an NBA championship team. He's probably got it. I understand your hesitation towards like a max contract in the NBA. It's a big call.
It's a lot of money.
But given that they lost Kawhi, given that he may be like a few bounces of the ball away from being clearly their best player, probably worth it.
Yeah, I hope he has a great season, but I'm cautious.
He's easy to cheer for, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm cautious of the idea of giving him max money.
And just one quick sentence before we move on. The two players that Ted just listed, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, late bloomers, both two-way superstars, and that's what Siakam is.
Yeah.
His defense is just as good as he is on the other end.
Another person who signed.
I'd have a bad game.
A very, very big contract. Bradley Beal, Washington Wizards.
Love Bradley Beal.
4-year, $130 million. And big ups to Bradley Beal for accepting that when he could have got a decent amount of money in the free agency because the Wizards aren't in a good spot.
Do we have confirmation on whether he can be traded later in this season?
We don't.
I thought there was a 30-day cooling off period and then after that he can't be traded.
My impression was that he couldn't be traded this season.
Is that before or after
the extension?
No, there's after the extension.
After the extension.
Because if he can be, it's a very tradable contract.
Well, look, tune in next week and we'll have your answer.
Yeah, well, you...
Good bait. I like that. Yeah, really reel him in with it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Last one, Taurean Prince. 2 years, $29 million.
Love it.
Great. Now.
Boom.
We shall move on. Later in the podcast, we're going to talk about our tears. We've gotten really sad in here.
The ones I cried.
The ones I cried last.
We're going to... Scotty and I have put every team into a different tier. So like contender, fringe contender, all the way down to sort of What did we call that last year?
Contenders, fringe contenders, playoff locks, hunting the eight, figuring it out, and a world away.
Aww.
I did suggest making another one for just the Knicks and the Wizards, just being like, just give up.
Suns.
Just go to Seattle. Charlotte.
The Suns have have a chance. Charlotte probably could sit in the list as well.
And also for the listeners out there, Harrison, Tom and myself have got no idea about what teams are going in, which tier for these two boys. So I'm looking to tear shreds out of their portfolios.
Before that, though, we have predictions for the end of season awards because it is the start of the season and that is a safe thing to do. So we have our respective picks that we've made and we're going to go around and we're going to yell at each other about them. So to start off,
yelling.
The MVP, Gadi.
At risk of just saying what I say in most episodes, like,
and just most times of the day.
I can't look past Steph Curry.
My God.
Yeah. I get it. But I don't think anyone else is going to pick Steph Curry at this table, but I believe he should be part of this conversation because Steph, okay, Olgan's pointing to his piece of paper, so he obviously copied me, but that's okay.
Yes, I copied you. Thanks for discovering Steph Curry.
I think we've seen Steph be the 1A superstar on a elite basketball team in the past. Then we saw KD come in, and whenever KD went out, Steph was right back to that guy.
And the team was still good.
And I think this year, more than any of the years prior to that, he's going to handle the ball a lot more. And I think it's going to be pretty fun to watch.
Okay, question, Gadi.
Yes?
Where do the Warriors have to finish for Steph Curry to beat
contention? Fourth or above.
Okay. Fourth or above?
Yeah.
Fourth is...
I think he could average like a silly amount of points this year. And as we know, MVP is a lot about narratives. And as we know, Kevin Durant's not the most popular man in the NBA.
What?
So I think the combination of Steph going back to fun Steph and people being like, well, the Warriors are still good even without KD. Maybe Steph was always the best player on that team. Maybe he was the most important player on that team.
You're projecting.
As I said, it's all about narratives.
That I will start.
For me, the season I would like to see would involve Steph Curry winning MVP.
I also have Steph as my MVP. Gadi said most of the reasons why. Question, does anyone think that Steph Curry is going to be the first player since Wilt to average more points than minutes?
No.
No.
Because James Harden came close. I think he was like 35 in 37.
James Harden never got subbed.
He also shot at everything.
I was about to say, I think Steve Kerr is smarter than that. If they blow out a Minnesota, a Chicago, one of the stinky teams.
Yeah,
East.
They're going to bench him because of the workload that he's going to have to carry. I don't think that's too possible this year.
I think it's possible.
Shit. Yeah. That just blew my mind. Yeah. I'm kind of like, yeah.
First place since.
Ooh, hot take. There you go.
This is a great introduction to our new soundbites.
I'm really not on top of it, though. I should have been quicker. I'm sorry.
I think if it's going to happen, I think there's a really good chance of it happening. Tom, who is your MVP?
My MVP is the one and only LeBron James. I just think that Anthony Davis is one of the most injury-prone athletes that we've had in the league for a very long time. And I saw a graphic the other day that he has literally injured every single extremity on his body at least once.
Every single?
Yeah, missed time. He's missed time for everything. It's like fingers, hands, elbow, forearm, arm, shoulders, literally everything.
God damn.
Everything. Yeah, and I just, Lakers will have the best player in the league, but it won't be Anthony Davis because he won't be able to play enough games to qualify or at least be in the conversation. And last year, LeBron averaged 27, 8, and 8, which is this one of these, that was
sort of went overlooked.
That was the season he had in 2012.
Enough and blew up his team.
Yeah, exactly.
It was also true.
Yeah. Narrative space.
It's not a narrative. He wanted to trade his entire team.
Yeah, it's a narrative. It's not so valuable.
Harrison?
Yeah. I have Joel Embiid, not because I think he's going to be the best player this season, but because I think Philadelphia will be so elite and their net rating will be so good and everyone loves Joel Embiid that he's going to get so many votes.
Do you also think that he's going to... I don't know who you have for Defensive Player of the Year, but does that...
I don't have him for Defensive Player of the Year. I think that using him and Horford both as the rim protector, I think is going to take away from his defensive stats a little bit.
Okay. Ted?
Nice. To disagree with Tom entirely in terms of his analysis, Anthony Davis. Because I just think if he plays like 65-plus games, the world is going to like realise what they knew the whole time, that Anthony Davis is a complete freak. He was just kind of lost.
I really like the way you put that.
Thanks, man. he was just lost in literally one of the worst sporting markets in Northern America.
Yeah.
North America, sorry. That's just an equation with me. If AD plays 70 games, 65 even, he probably wins MVP, considering that LeBron is going to give a lot up in offense this year to AD.
So it's a weird table. Two of us chose Steph. No one chose Giannis. No one chose Kawhi.
It's hard to go back to back.
True.
And
especially because I think his team got worse too. A little bit worse.
And with Kawhi, I'd be surprised if he plays more games than he did last year.
Damn.
I'm not even convinced Milwaukee are going to top the East. So
neither am I.
Yeah, I couldn't back.
Look, I was considering Giannis because I think there's a chance that he isn't near his ceiling yet, which terrifies me and should terrify the NBA. But I just want Steph to be good this year.
You got so giddy there.
Yeah, it's adorable.
The next award, just because this is how I've written mine, most improved player. Ted?
Lonzo Ball.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I just imagine that he came back and could shoot. It's like, imagine if he could shoot. He might be the most improved basketball player in the NBA. Mark Plus, I didn't give this one much thought. So. Next.
I don't even think he's going to be in the lineup for long.
Dang.
Ooh.
That Nikhil? Wow. Take.
Nikhil?
Give me a cold take.
Ice cold.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty hot take.
I feel like that's quite hot.
It's quite warm.
What, mine?
Oh, no.
Apologies.
Yeah, the cold was for me.
No, but even that's Tom forgot the definitions of the buttons there.
Maybe.
You're doing good, Tom.
That's it. Harrison, most improved.
Most improved, I have Jonathan Isaac.
Oh, wait, is he on the Magic?
Who do you go for, Harrison?
Oh, my God.
Okay, no. Explain.
Can we not?
Explain.
Okay, I am going to make a prediction now that I think Orlando will have a top three defensive rating, and I think Jonathan Isaac will be a big part of that. His length and just the way his play style fits in with what the coach is trying to do, which is close out to shooters and force mid-range games. This dude's 7 foot and runs like a gazelle. He is built for someone who closes out and then recovers. I think he's going to have a good year, and his scoring is going to tick up as well.
So you think that the Magic are going to have a better defensive rating than the Bucks? Or no, as in like they're going to be up there with the Bucks, the Sixers.
I think top three will be that.
The Clippers, the Jazz, the Pacers.
Yeah.
Ooh, no, here's, no one will be.
Here's a question. Would you accept that for people to vote for a player on a team, they have to watch said team?
No.
Okay, because it's going to be a problem with the Magic.
I think there are some people which ignore the eye test completely and go, oh, defensive team awards, let's just look up random defensive stats and vote for Joe Ingles as defensive player of the year.
I did that. That was me. I also watched lots of Jazz games.
Pew, 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 pew.
Your stats were so niche.
I watched lots of Jazz games and I noticed it. He guards like 1 through 4. Shut up.
Your stats were like tailor-made for a Joe Ingles award.
No, I think Jonathan Isaac is going to be a player where you look at his stats year from last year to this year, they're going to make a huge jump. And maybe he's not going to be in that big conversation because a lot of people won't watch a Magic game, but it only takes one article. It only takes one person to come out and be like, I'm sorry, look at this jump that he's made for people to start realizing it.
Hmm. Okay. Johnny Isaac. Cool. My pick is Thomas Satoransky.
Satoransky.
He had
okay, Ogun.
First question, can you spell it?
Yes, I can.
Well done.
Touche.
No, sorry. Please hey, say Tom, your first point as to why.
He had a really good World Cup.
So did Lewis Scholar.
Louis Scholar's not in the NBA. He's not eligible for the award.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Why would he not be in the NBA if World Cup means so much?
Because he's 80.
Okay, but
dude, that means like 20 and 11.
But I'm saying that in
Paddy Mills is in the running for this award now.
No, well, MVP.
No, because Paddy Mills, and coming off the World Cup that Paddy Mills had, it's reasonable to say that he could be up for a six-man award, right? Because he's in rhythm, right? He's come off, he's improved a lot with the Boomers.
He's also like the
just
third
like,
point guard on their
But it's the sort of thing where Satoransky had a chance to lead a team. He led a Czech Republic team that was trash to the quarterfinals, and now he's going to go and play the point for a trash Chicago Bulls team. I think he's got a chance to make some noise.
They drafted a point guard. They're not going to leave that point guard just chilling on the bench.
They're going to start Satoransky.
They invested way too much in Kobe White.
They will start Thomas Satoransky.
Zach LaVine is going to do everything anyway.
Yeah, because he has a great point guard next to him in Thomas Satoransky.
The most improved player. I don't know if Satoransky's numbers will be impressive enough because, as you say, Zach LaVine's there, Larry Markkinen's there, Kobe White's there. There's going to be a lot of other people scoring the basketball.
He won't score enough points for it to look sexy, but he's the sort of guy that can average like a solid like 11, 6, and 6. Which I think is quite solid.
As we know, with most improved, often... It comes at most improved and sixth man of the year. Often it comes down and rookie of the year.
Not the way I do it, Cuddy.
Comes down to points.
I analyze everything.
Yeah, you go into
that. We just went through this.
Advanced stats.
Go to NBA.com/stats, baby.
Sorry, advanced stats.
Shit. Tom Hanley, most improved player.
Mine is DeJounte Murray, which I think is a very sneaky pick.
Super hard to be most improved on not playing.
Exactly. That's what an improvement,
easy, right?
What an improvement that would be. You don't even have to do much. Yeah. You just have to turn up.
I don't think that's hard to take.
Does that really take him out of the conversation if he didn't play last year? If he comes in and scores 15 points a game, has about 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and like 1.5 to 2 steals a game?
I honestly think that's a cold take. As in, that's a completely reasonable take to think that DeJounte Murray can win.
Yeah,
I feel like too many people, and I really like DeJounte Murray as one of my takes that we talked about before the before this podcast was. I think he's going to be the best perimeter defender in the NBA this year. He's going to be all first defense, but I just can't see people voting for him for most improved when he has a year off, and that would have been his third year.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, but I think he will be. He'll shine that brightly towards everyone where he's just like, oh, the best
he'll
that came to my
so
head.
Brightly. He'll be a shining little star.
Shine brightly.
What?
I don't know, man.
It just all came out. He's going to play that well that it'll kind of push people into the conversation and be like, oh, what did he do last year? Oh, he wasn't playing? Oh, he's this good now? He has to be most improved.
Gutty, your most improved player.
Yeah.
This is your shiny list.
I've also actually got DeJounte Murray, and I've got Dan here because you'll shine bright.
Nah. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, no, I was looking at, as I said, often these awards, whether or not I think he's going to actually be the most improved player or not, is kind of like besides the point because I think
it's the name of the award.
I know, but okay. So often it becomes a statistical thing. And I was looking at certain players and I was like, wow, I really think he's going to take a leap. I think he's going to take a leap. But statistically, DeJounte Murray is going to go from, I think it was like averaging around 8 points a game 2 seasons ago, and he's probably going to hit around 16 and be the point guard for a Spurs team that I think is going to be really good this regular season.
But how do you think they're going to roll out a lineup,
Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, it's just on the mind.
Sorry, more sports.
sports.
With Murray.
Derek White.
White at 2, DeRozan at 3.
Probably, because I don't think they start Bellinelli. I think Popovich is a fan.
Bryn Forbes might start though as well.
I just think Popovich is a fan of Derek White. Like he put him in his World Cup team.
And then there's Lonnie Walker.
I don't think Lonnie Walker starts. I think he gets good minutes.
They are loaded with defensive guards.
Yeah. And like Patty Mills, Bellinelli. Like that's a... That sort of
I really
backcourt
like
rotation.
Spurs this season.
Now that you put it
sneakily,
that way, yeah.
They've got a cool backcourt.
When you look at all those guards, that's got to take away from his awards case as well.
Yeah, but I think, as Tom said, I think he's going to shine so brightly.
Would that not logic go toward the Magic and all of their wings because they have all of the wings?
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Johnny Isaac.
Yeah, put that in
the
table.
You know what that means. Thomas Satoransky, most improved player.
Oh, God.
All right, sixth man of the year. Tom Hanley, who you got?
Who do I have? Bogdan Bogdanovic. That is who I have.
Bogdan is the Kings one.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
The Kings one. I really had to make a point of figuring that out a long time ago, so I kept getting me confused.
Also, real quick, I think that Bogdan looks like Bojan and Bojan looks like a Bogdan. Yeah.
I can agree with that.
Because Bogdan seems more rugged and the Jazz one seems more rugged. Bojan seems childish. Like Bogdan.
Huh. I agree, actually.
Thank you.
I can't even...
Yeah. But no, that's. I think that's...
Yeah, but I think he's going to have a great year and he's going to get, I wouldn't say increased minutes, but more meaningful minutes throughout games. And he's just, like we're putting down to it, he had a great FIBA World Cup with a very experienced team.
It means lots, obviously.
Yeah. Well, when you're playing with those guys...
It can mean lots.
Yeah. He averaged... So he would have shot... Oh, God.
It's wow. My bad. My password's about to expire.
Jesus. Okay, well, I'm glad we let Australia know.
Tom, tomorrow. What's your new password?
I'm not going to tell you.
Buffalo. Bogdanovic shot like 50% from the field and from three at the World Cup too in a lot of games, which is really impressive.
Yeah, he played very well. I think he's going to come into a run and gun Kings attack. That's, he's going to have a great year.
Gaddy.
The guy that really probably should have won it last year, I think, Montrezl Harrell. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Montrez fan, because I know I've been here and said this stuff before, but last year, I think Lou got it off. Like, obviously, he was huge for that second unit, but I think Montrezl Harrell is now going to have even more eyes on him with, obviously, Kawhi and Paul George being on this Clippers team. And I think because if there is maybe a weakness on this Clippers roster, it's at the five, he might be lent on a little bit more than usual. He might be exposed a little bit more, but I think he'll get increased minutes. And I think he'll have even more space to work in given the talent that they have around him now.
I so hope you're right, because I think everyone really enjoys the pick and roll game that they have. And I think everyone loves Montrezl Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
He has quite a high foul rate, though.
Yeah.
And I think playing him just at the five, I hope it's not an issue because of how much length and how much versatility they have on the perimeter. But that's one thing that I keep coming back to whenever I look at the Clippers, is just that if Montrezl Harrell's sitting on the bench, he keeps giving away fouls to the starting center every night. That's going to suck.
The other thing that could affect him is that I think Doc Rivers said that there will be times he rolls Montrez out in the starting lineup this season. That could affect it.
I had a thought. I was like, that's the perfect situation for, imagine game three of an NBA finals with the Clippers down like 2-1. Montrezl Harrell starts that next game.
Yeah.
It's got that sort of feel to it.
But I think he'll always be in whatever lineup Lou Williams is in, because it's a waste to not play them together.
Yeah, they are perfect together.
Mm. They have such great chemistry.
Yes, that is
chemistry.
Ted, sixth man of the year.
Joe Ingles.
Hey.
Mm. Yeah. Patriot, the obvious answer. But also, I like him going against the second unit. The athletes that he's going against will either be tired or lesser athletes than the ones that start. And we could see him play a role similar to how he did for Australia at the World Championships. He's almost playing like a hybrid guard.
Yep.
And I really like the idea of that slow-mo Joe getting a few more assists than he did last year, and maybe some more space for threes, like I said, going up against the second unit. So
he was consistently getting like 12 points, 8 assists in the preseason.
That would be great if we could see a slow, old Australian Caucasian do that in the NBA, get a bunch of points through almost pure guile and touch. It would be great.
True. That's my pick as well.
Hey.
He was moved to the bench. Jeff Green has moved into the starting lineup for Quinn Snyder and the Jazz.
Jeff Green.
Which I don't agree with, because the team is just like statistically better with Joe Ingles there, but it is what it is. Harrison, sixth man of the year.
Caris LeVert. I think for much of the same reasons that you guys have used.
Gutty, thumbs up.
Thanks, Gutty. For much of the same reason you guys chose Joe Ingles, I think he's going to take that playmaking role off for the second unit, which I think is going to hurt Spencer Dinwiddie in the process as well. Another six man of the year candidate.
No!
I know.
My heart.
Next up, rookie of the year. Like we said, Zion's
out. Can we just make this one quick? Oh, no. Zion's injured.
No, like Zion's injured, but okay. Does anyone still? Would anyone still
just
have Zion?
Just start with Harrison. Just let him get it out.
Oh, Harrison.
Yeah,
do your thing?
I agree with him. Actually, say the thing.
Brandon Clark, my man. Brandon Clark for Memphis is gonna.
So can you just quickly describe who that is?
Yeah, you got the right team. Wrong player though.
He will be the starting power forward in no time for the Memphis Grizzlies. He is a defensive stalwart, and he just dominates inside. He's got amazing touch, which means you foul him, he goes to the free throw line, he can make it, and he can actually shoot some threes, which we saw in Summer League. He is one of the best defenders out of this rookie class, him and Matisse Thybulle, and I think he's going to just fill the stat sheet every night. Big fan of Brandon Clark.
You think he could win it over his own teammate, Ja Morant, in the fact that he's like the number two pick?
And also over all the better rookies.
But Morant looks good on offense. Oh wait, that's why he will win it instead of.
Yeah, I like the faith. Stick with you, man.
Thank you.
You've been high on him since when? Like his the start of his college year? Or?
No,
it's been at least 3 weeks.
Hi.
It was probably just before the NCAA started. The
tournament. Mm.
Yeah. I was just watching a Gonzaga game and I was like, this dude is awesome. And then, yeah, he is awesome.
He wouldn't shut up about him.
So, Ted, like you were saying, Harrison chose Brandon Clark over his teammate, Ja Morant, who is who I have for the Rookie of the Year. Who do you have?
I do have... Who do I write down? You tell me.
Zion.
No, Zion. Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
You wrote Durr next to it as well.
You're sticking with it?
If it isn't Zion, I think it'd be someone like Morant who really pops off the screen when you watch him. And he's... There aren't many scoring options left at Memphis, so he could be getting a high percentage of their points as well. So that one makes sense. But if Zion only misses 6 weeks, he'd go back to the favourite for me.
I just think Ja Morant is a guy who's going to have the ball in his hands for a lot of possessions. Mm. And he's got a chance. He's going to get a chance to just put numbers on the board. I feel like that can get him over the line, especially if Zion sits out, let's say, 20 games, right? Mm. Gutty, Rookie of the Year.
I went a little bit random with this one, but someone who I actually think is going to have a really good year, Tyler Herro at the Miami Heat. I think, like, he's shown statistically he can shoot it at an NBA level with NBA defenders in his face. I think he's a super fun character as well, which, as we talk about with these awards, a lot of it is narrative driven. He's going to be on a team that isn't filled with superstars. It's just Jimmy Butler, and he's going to be one of the most effective players on this Miami Heat team, in my opinion. And I think we could see some, like, I don't know, maybe like historically great rookie shooting from
really?
This dude.
Mm, I like that. He's there's a new trait added on 2K this year called the BDE, and he's the only player that has it.
Yeah. Why is he the only one?
Well, he's got that big dick energy.
We knew what it meant.
Yeah. I was just double checking for the listeners at home.
Arrogance is another word we could have used.
I've just heard that he's outrageously confident, and that's why he's been able to kind of perform the way he has in the preseason and shoot the way he has, because it takes severe confidence to jump into the NBA and just start jacking up threes with a reckless abandon. Like
that's also a weird team. Like, do you think that that's really a nice place for a rookie to flourish, where like Jimmy Butler, like Dion Waiters?
I don't particularly know it's the right place to flourish as a rookie, but in my mind, what he's like, the way he's come in and the way he's performing, it's almost like he's going to instantly just take up the mantle of being one of the best players on that team, and it won't be seen as like, oh, this rookie's coming in there. Yeah. He's just going to be like maybe their best shooter on a team that could make the playoffs.
They have been in flux this year in terms of roster movements, but the two constants they have are pretty two constants to have. Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Mm. So I think they can create a good environment for a rookie. But, you know, they do have Jimmy Butler in there, which is just a wild card in terms of locker room chemistry and what can happen in that environment. But, I like who's leading that organisation. And who knows, I've got Miami pushing for a top four, top five spot.
Dang.
I think Eric Spoelstra does have the ability to bring out the best in people as well. I don't think Bam Adebayo would be anywhere near the player he was if he wasn't in Miami.
Justice Winslow,
I think he transformed him last year. And I think they've gotten more out of Kelly Olynyk than what Brad Stevens
even
did.
Even Dragic, who knows what he could have been somewhere else as well. Dragic.
Dragic is the boxer?
Yeah.
The fictional boxer?
The guy that killed...
Drago.
It's my bad. He killed...
Apollo Creed.
Okay, yeah.
He killed Apollo Creed.
Rocky killed him by not throwing in the white towel.
Oh, don't do that.
I know like half of these.
Just bringing up some coolers.
Tom, who is your rookie of the year?
Zion. Yeah, Zion. I mean, if he plays the games, he's going to win it. There you go. My assessment.
Yeah, that's actually a great assessment.
Yeah, plays the games, wins the awards.
Far too long about Zion. The equation's simple. Give me ball.
Defensive player of the year.
Can I start?
Let's head start.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Miles Turner, because he was leader in blocks last year.
Yeah,
Do you both have your hands up, Tom and Harrison?
I second that, but for an extra reason. I don't think he's going to stay in Indiana.
Uh-huh. Ooh, where's he going?
Do you have a dream?
I think. Yeah, I did, actually. I did.
Miles.
I think Indiana are going to be pushing for a home final leading into the All-Star break, and they're going to be like, okay, we need an elite wing player. We've just extended Domantas Sabonis. That Goga Bitadze, I think I said that right.
Yeah, sure. Nailed it.
No.
You might have.
I think they're going to really like what they get from him. He is just – he's talented. He can pass and he can clog the lane. And I think they're going to say – Miles Turner and for Jason Tatum.
Oh, okay.
Dang. Yeah.
I don't think they do that, but
Celtics Celtics just invested a lot of money in Gordon. They already have a lot of money in Gordon Hayward. They just invested a lot of money in Jaylen Brown. I don't think those three can play together. What are you going to do? Just keep holding out until Gordon
Hayward
finishes?
Throw away the best one for Miles Turner.
I'm not convinced he's the best one.
Think he's that amazing. I think he's the best one, though.
I think Jaylen Brown as a two-way player is better.
I'm a big fan of Jaylen Brown.
And if you can get that from elsewhere, I think that's okay. And I think they need a rim protector more than they need a third wing.
Just going to throw this one out there.
I mean, the fans almost took to the streets. Sorry, dude. Fans almost took to the streets when they traded that little fella to Cleveland.
Can you please elaborate? Who?
That was the most disrespectful reference of a human ever.
I had to think about it, and then I got it, and it was still funny.
Yeah.
That's Isaiah Thomas, anyone not following along at home.
He's shorter than me, I can say it. So imagine if, look, because it feels like the fans have really taken to Tatum, not so much for last year, but his playoff performances in the year before. The fans really warm to him, and it kind of feels like this is the player that you're going to build the team around in the future. I kind of want to see what would happen if a trade like that went through in terms of not just the team reacting to it, but the fans in Boston as well.
I think if you're going to make a trade like that, this is the year to do it, and it's to do it in the front half of this year because the Celtics fans were just so over the team last year.
Mm. When's the trade deadline?
The Celtics are so over themselves last year.
Not to what? Yeah. Feb
6. So I've got down here Miles Turner, Jeremy Lamb, and a protected first round pick for Jason Tatum and Semi Ojeleye.
You got to drop that at 11:50 p.m. on the last day of December,
and the whole that is Semi Ojeleye as well.
Absolutely.
You got to try and sneak that one past everyone.
Yeah.
Just as the ball's dropping.
Anyway, back to the
so Miles Turner
full
is your
circle.
Defensive
Miles Turner, because Brad Stevens, I think, is going to pull out exactly what you need from Miles Turner, and which is an elite rim protector.
Narrative as well. The fact that he was so effective on defense last year and didn't even make the All-NBA defense second team, that potential narrative in that, that they need to make up for a lack of not picking him last year. I mean, he had the most blocks by a fair margin, and to not be in the top 10 defensive players in the year, I think, was short-sighted.
So Tom also had Miles Turner.
Yeah.
Gadi, your defensive player of the year.
I also had Miles Turner.
Did you join in before?
Disrespect for Rudy Gobert. So, am I the only one who doesn't?
But I just want to add to this, because the reason I'm picking Miles Turner is for another take that I have, which is that I think, and as I say this, I don't know if I actually think this, but I think that Indiana will finish at least above one of Philly or Milwaukee and potentially as a number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Ooh, hot take.
Ooh. The Pacers.
The Indiana Pacers. Whoa.
If the crowd...
As a one seed.
I think there's a chance.
Brogdon.
There's a chance deeper in this world. Brogdon coming in, Depot, TJ Warren, McConnell, Jeremy Lamb. I like them as additions, and I like what Indiana were doing before that.
Well, did they have a home
They're the
playoff
classic
series last
regular
year?
Season team. They're they will do exactly what they need to do to win in the regular season.
Sorry, Gardy, did they finish fourth last year?
No, yes. Fifth, because Boston had
the
home final,
missed
I think. Yeah.
So if you add VO to that team, then for sure.
Mm.
But you also
and you're adding
lose Bojan Bogdanovic.
Oh, but Victor Oladipo was like, I know it was only the first quarter of the season, but he was one of the best players in the East easily at the start of last year before he went down. And the year before that, his first year in Indiana is super impressive. Look, as well.
I'm not saying they're definitely going to finish as number one seed. I just, like, in my head, I'm thinking they're probably going to do a lot better than a lot of people think they're going to do. And I think that could translate into them finishing above, say, the Milwaukee Bucks.
So at this point, I'm fantasizing about a Brogdon, Oladipo, Tatum, TJ Warren, Sabonis starting lineup, assuming Harrison's trade goes down.
Mm.
I think that's like a...
It's pretty good.
That's a good starting... That's like one of the best.
Especially in the regular season.
Right.
With Jeremy Lamb coming off the bench.
TJ McConnell.
And Bitazde. Maybe.
Sure. My defensive player of the year is Joel Embiid.
Yeah. All the hate for Rudy Gobert. Good for us.
No, it's just lots of love for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to explain it.
No.
He's an extremely talented defensive player.
Not at all.
And has the potential to win the award for the extremely talented defensive player.
He's lost like 15 pounds over the summer as well.
Dang.
Didn't he say, oh, I haven't done anything different?
From focus.
Focus.
From sheer focus alone.
So weird.
I wish I could focus better. God damn it.
Coach of the year. Gatti.
Don't care.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers.
They only won. He should have won it last year. That's why we won it this year.
Dang.
They'll finish first or second. I'm like, eh, we are your one.
Doc Rivers. Harrison?
Ime Udoka.
So he means Ime Udoka.
That's the one.
The Sixers assistant coach. He's their lead assistant.
Yeah, I think the Sixers are going to be the best team in the regular season, and I think they're going to fire Brett Brown in the process.
At what game, what point in the season are we calling it?
Hopefully, like, second.
Hopefully.
But no, I think within 30 games, I think they're not sitting too pretty. And
they still make it to the top team in the East from there.
Yeah, they're going to run. So filthy run.
My pick is sort of the opposite. I have Brett Brown.
Oh,
well, we both think Philly will be really
good. Philly head coach is going to be amazing. whomever that is.
I don't know if he's got one in him, Brett Brown.
Well, so I think they're just going to be really, really good. And it's the sort of thing where they haven't been the top seed in the East, I don't know if ever, but in a really long time, let's give it to that guy.
I think
like when they gave it to Steve Kerr.
I think people would laugh him off the stage at that awards show if he wins Coach of the Year.
No, just Harrison at home going.
Tom, who's your Coach of the Year?
Doc Rivers, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Did
you have a Coach of the Year?
Yeah,
again?
I said I didn't care.
Okay, terrific. I'll write that down.
Well, would it participate?
Yeah.
Executive of the Year. Harrison.
I think his name is Michael Winger.
Yeah, Michael Winger.
He's the general manager of the Clippers because, like, yeah. I'm sorry, you brought in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. What like, yeah. You don't have to win it all.
On top of the team that you already had before.
Yeah, for you to be.
Yeah, but that guy's just nicking a living off Jerry West.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to Jerry West, really.
The Warriors did that for the last couple of years.
Yeah, just saying.
True.
Ted? Wherever Jerry West goes, they win.
Daryl Morey for shining a spotlight on how...
Wait, sorry. Was
Russell Westbrook still can be.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good.
What do you think that does to Chinese investment in the NBA if Daryl Morey wins?
Don't get into this.
No, we're already running late for our draft, bro.
Yeah.
For those who didn't listen last week, Harrison's very pro-China.
Oh, for God. Yeah. Yeah. I hate this room so much.
No, Gatti. Executive of the year.
So I actually mixed it up. So I don't care about this one. Brett Brown for Coach of the Year.
No.
Brett Brown for Coach of the Year.
You just...
Sorry, I don't care for Executive of the Year.
Okay.
All right.
Tom Hanley, Executive of the Year.
Oh, Michael Winger as well.
Okay. Yeah. I have Elton Brand.
Nice.
Sixers. Going all in on the Sixers being really, really good.
Mm. Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Let's go on to our finals picks. Again, we're fast-forwarding extreme amount. Ted, who do you have making the finals out of the East and the West?
Cold take, kind of predictable, Philly and LA Lakers.
Ah. Yeah. Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. Tom death stared me and shook his head. Don't do that. I think LeBron for the first time in a long time actually has in his own mind, a point to prove. He was disappointing last year, whether that was by design to get rid of some cattle that was unwanted from himself or whether it was age. I think that question's there now, and a lot of this season he's going to be out to answer it. So a switched on LeBron offensively for the whole season, a switched on LeBron offensively and defensively after February, March. I think that's going to be enough for the Lakers to go in with enough momentum.
Also the first year we're ever going to see of like a somewhat refreshed LeBron. Like while he is very old.
It's the longest break he's ever had.
Yeah, exactly. Or that I can remember. He's going to come in hot. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And have an AD there. AD's never played with someone like LeBron. I mean, who has? And LeBron, as good as some of the talent's been around LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Love, Chris Bosh, none of them are AD. None of them were potential MVPs outside of Dwayne Wade. But, it's, if you're a Lakers fan, it would be easy to get excited, I think.
Ted,
Lakers,
out of those two?
Lakers versus Philly. I think Lakers will win it. LeBron's going to do something.
Wow.
I mean, playoff LeBron's different.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he plays defense.
A little bit. Harrison, Who are making the finals?
I think playoff Kawhi is also super different, and I think it's going to be Philly versus the Clippers. Mm. And I think the Clippers are going to win because they're built to perfection for the playoffs. And I think Philly's going to be there once they get a more creative head coach. Sorry, Ox.
Jesus. apologize to Olga and apologize to Brett.
Shit. Yeah, so much disrespect. Who do you have winning?
Clippers.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah, I'm on board with that as well. I got the same thing. Yeah, the Clippers going to...
What's your finals?
Sixers and Clippers. Yeah, they're going to be easily the two... Well, not easily the two best teams. I think the Sixers will be easily the best team in the East, and the Clippers will prove that they are just purely dominant across everyone else because of their size, their defense, and their
depth.
Creative, their depth.
Gadi.
Yeah, look, I've got it the same. I've got 76ers, I've got Clippers. I think in the regular season, the 76ers are going to be the best defensive team in the East and probably the NBA. I think come playoff time, the Clippers will be the best defensive team in the Western Conference. I think it's super intriguing, the matchup as a whole, because Philly are like a team of giants.
Yeah.
And then the Clippers play, obviously, their, I guess, playoff five or playoff seven is going to be, I think, a lot smaller than that, obviously.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how it's going to play out, but I think the Clippers end up beating the 76ers because probably Brett Brown isn't creative enough as a head coach to get the 76ers over the line against a team as good as a defense as good as the Clippers.
And Doc Rivers has been there before, you know? He's been to countless finals, been to three.
And he's won that high. And he's won and he's won it.
Yeah, and he's won it before. So Brett Brown hasn't won shit.
I think Brett Brown would have won some stuff with the Spurs, but he would have been down the pecking order.
I'm pretty sure he won an NBL championship as well, actually. So there you go.
Yes, means lots.
Mm.
Who do you have, Olgan?
I've gone...
Gardy doesn't care. I don't know if you picked up on that.
I heard it. I've gone with a hot take for mine. I've got Sixers Warriors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was my cue.
I don't know if the fans can hear Gardy shaking in his chair.
I honestly think, like, Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, whomever at the three, I don't know if it's like Glenn Robinson the third or whatever his name is, Draymond Green. Like, I just think the three of Steph, D'Angelo, Draymond Green, and then whomever plays the five, like Paul Stein, maybe.
Clay's going to come
back. And then Clay comes back. That's what I think takes him over the edge.
They don't have the bench depth to kind of pull them all the way to the finals, I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't do this last week. I'm going to do it now.
Do it.
They match up against the Clippers. How does that match up work defensively? The Clippers are going to be able to do enough to contain. Like, you can put Kawhi on Steph, and you can handle the rest without giving up any size. I just don't see how they're good enough in the playoffs to match up against these double superstars, the LeBron and AD. How do you mark those two with what Clay, like a fresh coming back from injury, Clay,
Pauly Stein
on
Draymond Green,
Draymond, Kevon,
Draymond's gonna have to
Kevon Looney,
Kevon Looney,
come on,
basically
man.
A max player. I'm kidding.
They're regular season is going to be outrageous. I don't think it's silly to have Steph Curry at the top of the MVP chat. I just don't see how they survive. I don't even see how they survive past a Westbrook and Harden backcourt and just defending that.
Olgan, you're brave. I love it.
Thank you. I like that. You don't think
I like that. Goodbye.
You don't think they're going to get past a Westbrook Harden backcourt?
I think they're going to struggle against that. And let's say they come up against the Rockets in the first round. Arm wrestle, they win it. And then what? Then you've got Denver. How do you contain that amount of depth? Then you've got AD and LeBron.
Just run.
Yeah, away.
Okay, and then, and then I just don't see how they match up against all the size that's in the Western Conference over a seven-game series. They couldn't handle... And, like, I know there were a lot of injuries, but you need to take that into account this year. They couldn't handle Kawhi and Siakam.
Yeah.
How are you going to do Kawhi and Paul George with Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and then Landry Shamet just shooting lights out?
Steph. Steph will do some.
That's I'm very much leaning on Steph being like a...
That's... Like a god.
Establishing himself as, like, a top 10 player in of all time.
Still has to defend, though.
Mm. Steph's a good defender.
Hey, he was the leader in steals in 2015, 2016.
Correct.
Yeah, it's
No.
I don't think Tony Allen. I don't know if Tony Allen ever led the league in steals.
Hot dog.
Yeah, I'm going with that. I'm sticking with it, and I've got the Warriors winning.
I love it. I love it.
You got the Warriors winning.
I love it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna end it on that.
Ooh, hot take.
It's about 3 seconds too long.
We're working on it. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, I think they get that. It's
good, but
yeah,
it's good.
No, it's good. We show initiative, guys.
Nice.
Ted punched the air. And that's all we have time for. We did not get to the tiers because we really went in depth with our MVP predictions and awards predictions and all of the extension stuff at the start. So we're going to hit that next week. We're also obviously going to wrap up the week's action, which starts, if you're in Australia, on Wednesday. Pelicans, Raptors, and then LA versus LA.
Ooh.
Which would be really tasty. Thursday, Philly versus Boston. Tune in for that because that's going to be awesome.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is exciting. The NBA season's here.
We've done it.
No, what? Oh, God, it is.
It's good to be back. You can trust us. We promise.
I swear that we will exist.
Things untrustworthy.
No, we promise. We actually promise. Thank you so much for joining us. If you like what you heard, head on to your favorite podcast app. Rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. Share with your friends. Tell us what you think. If you liked us, if you hated us, all that sort of thing. Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.